your name on high. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Because you are motivated by your reason, that you don't even see the difficulty in the work you are doing. You don't even see the stubbornness because you have a compelling reason for doing that thing. And that is the first thing that you need to have, a natural thing you need to have. You need to have a compelling reason for cultivating finances. The reason for cultivating finances is multiplying it, making it plenty. Hallelujah. I want to advise all of us, let's have a compelling reason. Rather, let's have a kingdom reason. Because when you have a kingdom reason for cultivating finances, then your investment becomes a kingdom asset. And the eyes of the Lord suddenly comes on it. Because it is for a kingdom reason. So God will preserve it. He will fight the predators himself. Because his kingdom is at stake. All of the armies of heaven is going to back that investment. Because there is a kingdom motive for it. So we must have kingdom reasons. The Bible says that seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. And all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, have a kingdom mentality for your finances first before even yourself. Oh yeah, it's true. That's how it must be. To get God's interest in it, you must do that. So, your reason will create motivation and impetus and drive for you. Okay? And God looks at our motives, our reasons. Look at James chapter 4 verse 1 to 3. Just write it down. The Bible says that you ask and you do not have because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lusts. Sometimes we think that, well, Pastor, what is important is that we are doing the right thing. No. God is interested in your motive for doing the right thing. He's not just interested in you doing the right thing, like coming to church and listening to the word of God. He wants you to do the right thing with the right motive. And the motive is what scores you. It's not the first one. God, everybody has come. Oh, yeah. Until you have a reason, your motives have not been tested. I like David. You know what he did? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, he went around, he asked the people, what shall be done for whoever takes this giant down? And then the brothers were cross with him, Eliab, he moved away, and he asked the same question, what shall be done? His reason is that there must be a cause. Is there not a cause? And if you read 1 Samuel 17 verse 46 or so, you will get to know the motive for David taking on this tough assignment. You stay back and you say, oh, it's a very big thing. No, he had a compelling reason. That is why he could take Goliath down. That is why he could rush at Goliath. Because Goliath was a fearful person. Everybody, including Saul, they were shaking at the knee, the Bible says. But this small boy, he goes there because he has a compare. What was his reason? He said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that must be your motive. A kingdom reason. Of course, he knew that if I kill him, I'm going to have marry into the royal family and all that. I mean, that is also fine. But that is not what he spoke. He heard that. That's what they told him. His father's house will be free and things like that. But what he spoke was that the whole earth will see that there is a God in Israel. That's a kingdom motive. And all other things were added unto him. So have a compelling reason. Ladies and gentlemen, have a strong reason. Number two. Natural reasons or natural steps in cultivating finances. Number two, discipline yourself. Genesis 49, verse, I think we are still in Genesis, some of you. Let's look at Genesis 49 and then verse 3 to 4. It's talking about Reuben. Genesis 49 verse 3 to 4. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wented, you were indisciplined. You went into your father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. That thing, it pained his father really. You will not forget that. Pained him. What the Bible is telling us is that in spite of your current strength, you can be a firstborn. You can have a head start financially. You know, you can have maybe educational advantage. You can have maybe a business background. You inherited business from your parents or something like that. Maybe you are a friend of maybe Bill Gates or Carlos Slim or maybe Warren Buffett. You can have so much advantages. Maybe you are favorably disposed to do well financially. That was Reuben. Says that you have all of the head start. You are the firstborn. You have a financial background. You have the education. You have all that it takes. But because you are not disciplined, you will not excel. And that is how it is. Indiscipline brings mediocrity. Indiscipline is talking about lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. It doesn't matter how exposed you are. Maybe you have traveled to all the continents of the world. You have friends everywhere. Important rich people. But if you are not disciplined, you cannot cultivate finances. You cannot do well financially. Having a lot of money, especially in a poor environment, makes your life very complicated. Especially in a poor environment. Your life becomes very complicated. Simple 5 minutes that you must spend with people. Other people will think it's a very simple thing. But it's not a simple thing to you. Oh yeah? Go and ask rich people whether 5 minutes is a simple thing. You can spend 4 hours just chatting. But if you are cultivating finances, I tell you, your life becomes complicated. And few people will really understand you. The terrible part is when you show favors to people. Somebody needs money and maybe you show the person a favor. You are in trouble. Because sometimes a person will want to do everything you request. It's true. It's real. Practical. That if you are not disciplined, you young men, show a favor to a miserable lady and see. You see what I'm talking to you about? Say everything. Please, everything you request, I will do it. Please, everything. They will call you and copy everything you want me to do. Ah! Look, having money complicates your life. If you are not disciplined, don't think about it. Because you mess up your life, mess up your Christian life, mess up the testimony of God that is upon you. So if you cannot control yourself, don't think about getting money, because the money will jerk you around and control you, treat you like Coleco. Yeah. Two problems we have to overcome in order to discipline ourselves, in order to have self-control. Two problems to overcome in order to discipline ourselves. Number one is overcome low self-esteem. Overcome low self-esteem. people who have a problem with self-esteem, they use money to boost their self-esteem. Oh yeah. Unnecessary buying. And their pride is in, well, I'm wearing Armani, I'm wearing Tommy Hilfiger, and you know this bag is Gucci, and even the spectacle, the same spectacles that you see with. You say, no, I want to get the, which one? Ray-Ban. People's name are on your spectacles. They are on your t-shirt. Why can't you have a wound? Yeah, why can't you have a Usuansa? Your pride is in some Italian, forgive me, homosexual somewhere. That's where your pride is. So overcome low self-esteem. Otherwise, you are not going anywhere with money. You can't cultivate it. Number two. Talking about disciplining yourself. Number two, low tolerance for financial pressures. Overcome low tolerance for financial pressures. Financial pressures will come to everybody. People who have got a low tolerance for financial pressure, they cannot cultivate finances. Because these are the people who go into unnecessary borrowing. Because they cannot handle financial pressures. They borrow left, right, center. It's only by God's grace that they are not dead. If they die, then you see that, hey, my husband. So everything you had was borrowed. There was a prophet who died like that. Everything was borrowed. Everything. You see, if you cannot stand financial pressure, which will come to everybody, you will always panic and go and uproot things you have sown. You go and uproot it to eat it, eating unripe mangoes. So, you need to be able to stand financial pressure. One of the things that you have to learn, and these are things that you must learn. Oh, Paul said, Philippians, I have learned in all things. These are things you have to learn. He was talking about prosperity. I've learned prosperity. I've learned it. And poverty too, I've learned it. Yeah. You have to learn to disarm problems. When the pressures come, they will come like Goliath, very strong. But you have to dismember them, break them down. When you break them down, you see that, oh yeah. If I break them down to a point where the thing no more is a financial pressure unto you, that's a skill that you must learn. Breaking down problems, disarming problems. Because some of you are listening to me, you have got financial pressures right now. But just simplify it. Simplify it in such a way that you can even laugh at yourself that you were afraid at first. Oh yeah. Because if you cannot stand financial pressure, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to mess up your finances. You are going to go into things that you do not need to go into. Use the principle of united we stand, divided we fall. So divide the thing and it will fall right before you. Because every problem has got components. But they come together to intimidate us. But take it from me, any problem you face in life, don't be scared. Just break its components down. You'll see that the pressure will go away. And you can even laugh at yourself. You have to learn that art of laughing at yourself, even when you do not have money. It's true. Paul says, I've learned how to do that. Because when you cannot handle it, when you are broke, then money is controlling you already. You should enjoy life like Paul. When you are broke and when you are rich, enjoy all stages of life, from sowing to reaping. It's important. And don't disturb what you have sown. And people save some money financial pressure, the thing has not even multiplied.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
And every time they will go, you know, the farmer who put the seed in the ground, it has a long gestation period, maybe 1 year, crying as little shifu mho. Every month he goes to remove it and see, adiyonina, now akatado. Sometimes he even removes it and go and cook it and eat. Sometimes the thing has grown, maybe it has got leaves, it has not got fruit. Maybe the fruit has come, but in the very youthful stage, it's a kind of way. You know, the money has not grown, yeah. But you pluck it. Unripe or ripe, you pluck it because you cannot stand financial pressure. Please don't do that. When you have financial pressure, tell God, God, I have sown this thing. I've invested this thing. I cannot go and take it when it has not borne any fruits. I must allow it to grow. Show me another way of meeting this financial pressure. Necessity, they say, is the mother of invention. Yeah. Creative ways of making money apart from your savings, apart from your investments. For some of us, we disturb the farm because we have low tolerance for financial pressure. No. Money has a long gestation period. Money is a generational asset. That is what the book of Proverbs says. It says that riches and house is inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from God. We like the second part. God, give me a wife, prudent wife. But riches, the Bible says, it's not you. It's come from fathers. So it's a generational thing because it takes time. 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, sometimes 70 years before you see the fruit. And you are plucking and you are enjoying. You will not be there. Your grandchildren will enjoy. But that is it. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So you don't only plan for your children. You plan for your grandchildren. I have decided how many grandchildren I will have. Oh yeah. I have 3 boys. I've taken it that my advice to them, your old man, is that bring 4 to 3, not 2. 2, no. Don't mind the white people. 3 is good. All of them, 3 to 3. 9 grandchildren. I must leave something for them. So we must go beyond our children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The level of finances God wants to bring into your hand, you have no idea about. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea. Your mind is small. Open the gate that the nation's money will come. Don't close the gate. Don't close the fish gate. Open it. So, you must learn to discipline yourself. 2 areas in order to have financial self-control. 2 areas. 2 areas to develop. We looked at 2 areas to overcome. Overcome low self-esteem and low tolerance for financial pressure. A second one is that you must... The second one is 2 areas to develop in order for you to have financial self-control. 2 areas to develop. Number 1, develop biblical spending habits. Yeah, still talking about self-control. develop biblical spending habits. Proverbs 21 verse 20 says that there is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish will always spend the oil. Spending is a sign, of foolishness. Spending. No. Spendthrift. You like spending. There are people like that. They want to show as if they do are not attached to finances or money things. They say, oh, what is money? Money is for spending. That's a very unwise thing to say. Yeah. Says that there is oil to be desired. There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But the foolish spends the oil. Who drinks oil? The oil in your home. Do you drink it? What do you use the oil to do? The oil is used to do something that you eat. You don't take palm oil. Children, bring your bowls, breakfast, and you pour oil and spoon. They should drink. It says that the foolish man drank oil. So develop biblical spending. I've taught you about that. Fortunately, some of those things were not recorded. But there's a biblical spending habit. Number two, develop learning habits. Money and wisdom are paired in the Bible. Money and wisdom. If you like, I'll put it this way. Finances and information, they go together. Wherever there is information, money will move towards that side. Wherever there is darkness, there isn't knowledge, money will move away. For people will come and mine the money, take the money, mine, M-I-N-E, mine it and take it away to a place where there is wisdom and information. That is why the Bible said that when we are illuminated, then the nations will bring their money. Because illumination or light, when ignorance goes away, money will chase you. That is why you must have financial literacy. There's something like that. And some people, they can't speak money language. They can speak Ewe, they can speak Nzema, they can speak Pi, they can speak all language except money language. When it comes to money language, they can't talk. Yeah. Because they have never bought a book and said that I want to learn about this complex machine. So complex that it can rival God in its depths. I want to learn about it from the Bible. So we must have financial literacy. You must develop learning habits. How many people will buy latest machines? Sometimes they look at you and say, oh, but you're even the mobile phone you are using. What mobile phone is this? They are latest ones. They can't buy one book and read. They will buy mobile just to spend money. Some people have bought 4 chips, espresso, whichever. In fact, after this funeral, I'm changing my number. It's just because of the funeral that I have been changed. I've told my wife, because I use just one. I have some, but I've stopped all those things, dashed them away, because I see that it's a very subtle way. Have you ever calculated how much you spend? Calculate and see. You see that you'll be like Warren Buffett, who doesn't have a mobile phone. And he is the third richest man in the world. You think that he is just because he has got spending habits. We must learn them. And my time is up. But that is what you need to do. Financial literacy. Financial competence. Earning and spending money is the lowest level of financial competence. We should be able to make money. We should be able to manage money. We should be able to multiply money. Yeah. And we should master the money. Financial competence. If God gives me the chance next week, He permits me, we will talk about the third natural skills you need to cultivate. You need in cultivating finances. Remember, first the natural and then the supernatural. If you don't have natural discipline, forget about abundance. Because when it comes, we will not see you even in the world. You will vanish. The money will make you vanish from the system. Before we see you, then it will be maybe fasting and prayer that moved you to church. We need to discipline ourselves. It's a natural skill. You need to have a strong, compelling kingdom motive for cultivating finances. I trust that God is going to help us to come to that point where we take, like Abraham says, that take the steps in what you are seeing. Walk in it. Take some steps that will make me give you what you are seeing. Because it's not just what I'm seeing. Hey, I'm happy. Hey, I'm happy. Take the steps. And first the natural before the supernatural. God bless all of us. Let's rise up on our feet. And we want to pray. Pray for yourself. You want to ask the Lord, that Lord God, you have promised the last day church so much money. You never gave money to the history, in the history of the church. We haven't seen anything yet. The last day church is going to receive from Jesus graciously money. It will be clothed with money. And then the fivefold. These two things are going to combine and make us irresistible in the land, that the kings and presidents and the United Nations will even seek our wisdom and our light, our illumination. Just pray for yourself and tell the Lord, that Lord God, open me up. May I open my gates. Please teach me. The Father God, I will be able to cultivate finances. The Father God, I will be able to master money. I will be able to control the money that comes to me. I will be able to use it. I will be able to use it and multiply it the way that you desire. Just pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Enough of poverty in the church. Enough of we don't have, so we can't do, even when we know we have to do. Enough of elders being reduced to little children just because we do not have that mind. Enough of the people of the world not listening to our wisdom just because we do not have it financially. Pray for yourself. And let's pray for the Church of the Living God. Let's pray for Prevailing Word Chapel. Let us ask the Lord that we will take the step. We will see from where we are. We will lift up our eyes from wherever we are. We will see what God has promised, the promised land, what He has said in His word. By the cross of Jesus, He is going to make it available to us. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Rain upon us, oh my Father God, your Holy Spirit, even to turn the scriptures into pictures, oh my God, to turn your promises into covenant. The Lord, we will understand, we will see, oh Lord God, with our spiritual eyes, even the place of promise, oh Lord, by the cross, Lord, we will see from even Genesis, even to Malachi, and from Matthew, even to Revelation, oh my God, all the possibilities, the Lord God, you have got for us, and we will rise up and take the necessary steps, oh my God, physical steps, oh Lord, natural skills. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.